so much drama in the NFL. It's time to check in with our man, Mr. Alan Bell, because he somehow, some way, keeps coming up with great information like every single day.
Alan Bell, 24/7, CBS Sports, CBS Sports Digital, CBS Sports everything. He'll even do a Walter Cronkite impression. Alan, what are you doing, man?
I'll tell you what, I'm getting ready to read the news tonight. That's what we're planning to do.
All right.
All right. I don't know what's on it. We're just going
to
read it.
All right. Hey, by the way, JB is on his way up to Madison Square Garden, New York City. Channel 5 sending him up to cover the Vols Thursday night.
Man, that's awesome, man. MSG.
Yeah, and of course, if they win, he gets another couple days in New York as well.
That's a real treat for New York. I'm excited for it.
Johnny Nashville on the streets of Manhattan, right?
Yeah. Look at our man coming up. I love it.
Hey, Alan, I just want to start locally, go around the horn. The Kevin Byard thing came out that, quote, asked him to take a pay cut, unquote. I think it is. That's semantics. People go to players all the time, especially at the back end of these loaded contracts with their big cap hits, either regular cap hits or dead cap hits. It just seems like this was a normal way of business that got a little out of hand because of how it was worded. Because, like I said, players are asked to restructure all the time in this league.
Yeah, they are, right? But, you know, also, even though it happens all the time, it's not financially sound. Like, it would be like me hitting you up for, like, a little bit of a loan, like, every couple of weeks. You know what I mean? Like, good for it. Like, you know, it's going to come, but why are you doing it, right? Like, I mean, I get why they're doing it, but, you know, if I'm a player, I mean, it's going to depend on the terms, but I'm not doing that a lot. I'll just go ahead and say it. Like, and I liked Kevin's response. I thought it was fair, and I thought it was honest. Like, no. My play, no. Like, I've earned every penny, and you're going to pay me every penny. And you know what? It's not my fault that your GM screwed this up. It's not my fault that your GM let the entire offensive line go because he thought he was cute. And, you know, it's not my fault that you traded our best wide receiver. So, no, I'm not doing that. I don't blame him one bit. I do not blame him one bit at all. Because Kevin's play he stood up. He's done everything that you've asked him to do. He's fulfilled his contract. You're going to pay that contract.
Yeah, and I don't know how advantageous it is for that. They do save $6 million on the cap, but they got to keep $13.6 in dead cap money. Right. Yeah. So you're there if you cut him. Right. I don't know the benefits of it, really.
No, there's no benefits to cutting him. You know, and if you want to try to trade him, you can trade him. Like, you can do it. But no, like, I agree with Kevin. And again, you know, I hate that it always falls on the player. Like, he's being selfish. No, like, the minute that Kevin wasn't living up to his contract, like exactly what we just said. They'll cut him, get rid of him. Any money, they're not going to pay him that they don't have to. And they'll be done. So if I'm a player, no, you're not going to do it. Like, I'll do anything I can to help the team, but I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, it's not my fault that your idiot general manager screwed this entire thing up. But go talk to him. Don't talk to me.
Well, he's gone.
Yeah. Hey, well, that's what I'm saying. It's
yeah.
Like, you know what? Like, he's gone, but I'm not taking the pay cuts. Because he's an idiot. Like, I'm just not going to do it, you know? So, yeah, I agree.
Well, and again, this is being driven by the agent because the Titans aren't going to come out and say, yeah, we offered. Yeah, that's what, you know how that works.
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, 100%. Like, and, you know, you bring up a good point, too. Like, a lot of the stuff that comes out is just narrative driven, right? Like, a lot of it's not even reality. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I agree. Like, the other day, I'll give you a perfect example. Right, so I think it was like Odell Beckham, you know, his agent, you know, was saying, oh, you know, he just put out of nowhere, like, hey, we've got all these teams that are negotiating and, you know, all this stuff. You know what that means? It means no teams are negotiating, and he's trying to drum up interest, right? So, yeah, like, there's a lot of these things that aren't even reality.
in game, I guess, you know, you see these, I'm not going to call them marginal because I think they're plug and play type players with very agreeable contracts. Arden Key, especially, Shaiir has had success in this league. Andre Dillard, if you heard his press conference yesterday, got emotional. This is a second chance for a disappointing start to a career, former first-round draft pick. And I like all of the contracts that they've set up because they got some voidables. The guarantees aren't that much. Even Dillard's guarantee basically makes it a one-year deal if he flames out. This, and everybody's looking at these, well, that's all they're doing. That's all they're doing. No, this is the base that they need to create to go do the big things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have some perspective, right, of what was going to be free agency this offseason. They weren't going to get any, you know, five-star brand name players. They don't have the money. But, you know, what they're doing with what they had to work with is pretty good. Like, I can't fault them one credit, right? I mean, they're going, you know, taking a low risk, high reward type, you know, type shots at it, right? Whether it works out, whether it doesn't. Yeah, that's what you want to do. It's a lot better than going to sign Julio Jones, you know, for $40 million, right? Like, I mean, these are low-risk, high-reward type shots. Go do it. I like it.
You look around the league and just see, you hear these now, we're getting into the mock drafts and all of that. Good Lord. And just who's going here and free agents still available. Well, by the way, what do you think the end game will be with Odell Beckham?
You know, I don't know. I would assume that he's going to go to a team that's probably a playoff-type team. He needs a wide receiver, and it really doesn't want to pay a lot for it. You know, something very incentive-based. What team would make the most sense and what Odell would play for, right? The Bengals, you know, could be a team if they have money to do something like that. The Bills, you know, a team like that, that Odell would be, okay, like, I'll play incentivized for it.
Lamar Jackson, that thing got awful quiet, didn't it?
Yep.
Did you notice that? I mean, there was something out every day on it, and then they put the non-exclusive franchise tag on it, meaning other teams can negotiate, Ravens can match, or get two first-rounders in return. But I just thought that thing got awful quiet because it had gotten so contentious.
Yeah, it got quiet because nobody was going to do that, right? Like, you know, first off, like, you're not going to give away two first-round picks to a player to bring him in because then – because now he knows he's not getting a long-term deal done, and he can put out whatever number he wants, or he loses his first-round picks. And really what the Ravens were doing, where he's using the market to set the price for them, and then they would come over the top and need it anyway. So, like, he wasn't going anywhere. And I think that, you know, kind of once Lamar figured out what he was doing or what the Ravens were doing, it was like, I'm probably playing here next year. Which is going to be.
Alan Bell, 24/7. How to find him on Twitter. Alan, A-L-L-A-N. Alan Bell. Bell spelled like Bell. Why does Jadeveon Clowney keep showing up as a top free agent?
I don't know. His name. Like, we've been doing this, and we've had the same results legitimately since his last year in South Carolina. Like, Steve Spurrier. Like, that's how far back we go with this. And it's been the exact same thing every single year. Comes to the season, underwhelming, ends up injured, doesn't finish, repeat process. It's the same thing. That's legitimately a Spurrier years. It's South Carolina. I don't know, man. It just goes to show that sometimes in the NFL, and credit to Stadion, because he's making a whole hell of a lot more money than he should be. You know what I mean? But, all right. Good for him. Teams keep calling for it. There you go.
Ezekiel Elliott. I know he was, it just seems like he was Jerry Jones' guy and just never panned out there completely the way it could have.
Yeah, he definitely was. Sort of taking a drink there. Here's the thing with Zeke. Like, Zeke got a bad rap because Jerry Jones definitely was pushing that and he had Tony Pollard behind him. But, look, Dallas's offensive line isn't what it used to be. Zeke wasn't terrible. I'll also say this. Zeke is and he must arguably be the best third down pass protection running back in the NFL. And I don't say that with hyperbole. He's legitimately the best at it. And if you could find the right price and you've got the right, you know, kind of running back depth chart where he doesn't have to be your end-all be-all, it could be valuable, man. Like, he's got something left in the tank. But you don't want it to be your only option, if that makes sense, right? Like, you need kind of a little bit of a deep running back depth chart. But if you've got it and the price is right, man, Zeke can help you, dude. He can do a lot of things.
Taylor Lewan, I got a sneaking suspicion he's not done. And I'm even going to take it another step further. I wouldn't be – nothing surprises me anymore anyway, by the way. Okay, when we have – you know, nothing in life. You know, when we got Chinese spy balloons going across our country, nothing surprises me in life. It wouldn't even surprise me if he came back here and that this signing of Dillard was the insurance for Freire and Taylor Lewan on both sides. I'm not saying he's completely done here. Because
I don't think so either. I think they'll be able to tell, you know, well, this is going to be hard, but, you know, what does he do this summer? You know, does he stay in shape? Does he continue working out? Or is he traveling a lot, right? You know, doing podcast things. And again, I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's very difficult for linemen to, you know, not work out at all and then come in and be ready to go. So I agree with you. I have no idea. You know, because somebody like Taylor can do a lot of different things, whether it's football or non-football, right? But it wouldn't surprise me at all, especially with the scene, especially with the relationship that him and Mike Vrabel have. Like, yeah, I agree. It wouldn't surprise me one bit.
You know, by the way, 2 days before he was released, him and his wife were in the Phoenix airport. My daughter had a girls trip out to Sedona and her friend stepped on Taylor Lewan's toe and she realized they recognized him and he was so nice to them, but they met by her. They were sitting in the waiting area. She stepped on Taylor Lewan's toe and he goes, "Oh," like it hurt a lot. And then they sat there and talked for 30 minutes. It was really cool.
Nice
story.
I like to hear that.
Yeah, I like Taylor's a likable guy. Larger than life, and so I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of acrimony with this release because I think everybody knew it was coming when he couldn't pass a physical right now.
I think if anybody understands, you know, the game, it's him and it's Mike Vrabel. Yeah, I don't think there's any animosity at all, and that's what I was saying. Like, I'm with you. Like, Taylor's a funny dude. Like, he's a creative guy. I wouldn't say there's a negative. Like, he has a lot of different things that he could do outside of football as well, just because he is that creative and funny of a dude.
But I don't think he wants to go out this. I don't know. I'm don't have anything to base it on except years of reading tea leaves
Well, you know what? Like, you bring up a good point because, you know, it's easy now when nothing's going on. Give it a couple months when the entire, you know, when that itch comes because you know that the entire team is, you know, in summer workouts and, you know, off-season practices, like, and you're not there. Yeah, like, that FOMO is real, 100%. I agree with you.
Well, and I'm continuing this. I didn't mean to get onto this, but he lives here. He knows the lay of the land. He knows how that sausage is made over there. And, and if he comes in and, I don't know, $5 million, $6 million, I think that's a bargain for him, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah, you know. And let me say, Mike Vrabel's not a dummy either, right? Like, I mean, this guy's smart. He understands it. And he's been in Taylor's position. Like, he understands, you know, it's easy to say season ends. I want $10 million of what I'm normally playing for. Okay, well, we can't afford that. All right, well, you know, I don't know plan. Well, 6 months later, when you start getting that itch again, like, $6 million sounds okay. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, okay. Like, I could play about $6 million for sure. I just want to play. I want to be around the guys. Yeah, I'm with you, dude. You might be spot on with them.
Yeah, it's one of my many predictions. How's your bracket, Alan?
Oh, it was busted in 5 hours.
Everybody else, you know, there's not a perfect bracket left in the country.
No, and you know what's funny? Like, we talk about, like, you know, betting, the NCAA tournament, and I mean, we had, you know, some days, some up days, some down days, whatever. And somebody in our audience was like, man, like, like, oh, great day. You know, I think I went like 1-4, like one of the days, right? They're like, oh, great day. I said, dude, nobody can fill out this bracket of just picking who wins the game. Like, try betting this thing.
Do you, do you know what the odds are for a perfect bracket? I heard one in quintillion.
This is insane.
All right, and a quintillion is a number equal to one followed by 18 zeros and a number equal to one followed by 30 zeros.
My God, that's crazy. Like, I'll get messed. And I'm not talking about just sports. I'm talking about life. There are very few things that consistently deliver every time. The NCAA tournament does that.
Yep.
You never know what you're going to get, but it delivers every single. Christmas doesn't deliver every single time. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. This thing is awesome every single year.
Well, we need to go back and get you on a couch and relive your childhood, okay? I don't want to forget that. All right. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate you, buddy.
I appreciate it, bud. Have a good day, bud.
All right.